Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand for ever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth as in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counsellor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as the drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver and chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses the tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. They shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom, then, will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Who saith thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And we do ask the Lord's blessing upon his word. Amen. Last time I preached, we looked at Job 39 and we considered the ostriches in Job 39, verses 13 to 16. And I call that sermon, Living Amongst Ostriches, Earthbound Birds, a reflection of mankind, men that are bound to this world, that have no interest in spiritual matters, no interest in soaring to heaven. And in the course of that sermon, I referred to these last verses in Isaiah 40. And so tonight, I want to consider those last verses. And if you want a title for this sermon, we could call it Soaring with Eagles. Read in verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. A very exceedingly precious promise to the saints. Indeed, that whole chapter is a chapter of encouragement to the saints. And we do well to study it. Eagles are mentioned several times in the Word of God. Never quite sure what sort of eagle they're referring to in some cases. It could be the golden eagle, that magnificent bird that soars on the thermals. It could be a general term for a bird of prey. And it is also used to describe those carrion birds of prey. If you remember in Matthew 24, we'd read, For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Those carrion birds of prey. But here, when it talks about mounting up with the wings of an eagle, I'm sure it's a reference to one of those golden eagles, those eagles that can soar on those thermals, that soar above the world. And when you watch them, they appear so effortless. I've never actually seen an eagle flying, but in North Devon, we do have the buzzards. A lot on Exmoor, but also around Biddeford. And you can watch them on an afternoon, just soaring above the landscape. So effortless, minimal effort, and they ascend up into the skies. A glorious picture of what the believer can do. Able to wait on the Lord, and in waiting on the Lord, we will soar above this world. We'll leave those things of this world behind, and we will be strengthened. We will cease to be weary. We shall be able to run. We shall be able to walk. We shall be able to be about our Master's business. Isaiah, we call a major prophet, and his name meaning salvation, is of Jehovah. And as with all the prophets, Isaiah brings God's word in the first instance to Judah, but also to us. He brings them words of rebuke, words of judgment, but also words of hope, pointing men and women to Christ. In the chapter 39, we have Isaiah telling Hezekiah about the captivity that is going to occur. We read in 39, verse 3, Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, What said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then he said, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come, and all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. a warning of the captivity of going into Babylon, God's judgment, a time of exile. That judgment precedes chapter 40, but the Lord is so gracious and he gives us chapter 40 with these words of comfort, these words of reassurance. I'm sure that the believers in Babylon were weary, lacked strength, were cast down, but they were told to wait on the Lord, and they would indeed rise up on the wings of eagle. So as I said, God's judgment followed by these words of comfort. And this chapter is full of gospel promise, comfort for all of God's people. And it's a lesson for us. Trials do come upon the people of God in one form or another, and the word of God will help us even in these trials, in these difficulties. And so, as I said, we're going to concentrate on verses 28 to 31. And just to help us, I've got six questions that I want to try and answer. First of all, why do we faint? Why do we grow weary? What or whom are we to wait for? Why are we to wait for the Lord? What does it mean to waiting for the Lord? What does waiting for the Lord consist of? What are we doing whilst we're waiting for the Lord? Fifthly, the question is, waiting in the wrong place or the wrong time? And then finally, the results of waiting on the Lord. As I said, these verses given to the people of Judah, God's people, after that prophecy of captivity, these words are words of encouragement to them. And indeed, they're words that are applicable to believer and non-believer. It says, even the youth shall faint. They're applicable to young people, old people, and people not so old. In fact, they're applicable to all of us. That instruction that we're to wait upon the Lord, whatever our situation, it is good to wait upon the Lord. It will do our souls good. And so often we can rush about. We can be very busy. We can be busy about the Lord's work. But sometimes we do need to come aside and wait upon the Lord, to be still and to know that he is God. And so, why are we faint? Why are we weary? The psalmist says in Psalm 42, verses 5, 6, and 11, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizpah. And then verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance of the Lord. And then in Psalm 43, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance. Being weary, lacking strength, being cast down is an experience of all the saints of God. If we're honest, each one of us can say that we have been weary, that we are cast down at times. Indeed, it is so often the natural state for men. Again, the psalmist says in Psalm 34, The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But why are we faint and weary? As Job said, my soul is weary of my life. And as you read the book of Job, you can perhaps understand why Job said that. All that Job had passed through, the loss of his family, the loss of his property, those bodily afflictions, the wearisome debates with his companions. And so it is natural for Job to say, my soul is weary of my life. As I said, weariness, lack of strength happens to all of us. Life is frequently difficult for believer and unbeliever. As Proverbs says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. And sometimes the Lord does chastise us for our sins, for our iniquities, because we have strayed from him. And that chastisement can be a time of difficulty. It can be a time when we're laid low, when we do become weary, we lack strength, we lack vigour in the Lord's work. So don't be weary of his correction. Don't despise his chastising. But as we're chastised, we wait on the Lord. We seek his forgiveness. We pray that he will lead us in the paths of righteousness. And Paul, writing in Acts about his conversion, he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Paul, at that time, became weary. He had been repelling the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been persecuting Christians. He had been working against the Lord. And that is wearisome. If we try and battle and go against the Lord's will, we will weary. We will lack strength. We will be cast down. So Paul confessed his sins and sought Christ. And the people of Judah, they were faint and weary as they considered God's impending judgment and captivity in Babylon. And we can be weary and faint, not because of any sin, not because we're resisting the Lord's will, not because we're seeking to do our own thing, but we're doing the Lord's will. We're doing what is right in God's sight. Again, as the Apostle Paul says in Corinthians, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. The Apostle Paul, going about his master's business, but there they were, pressed out of measure, above strength, they despaired of life, they were weary, but they trusted in God, they waited for him, and they were delivered us. And then again in Corinthians chapter 4, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed, we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. And so there the Apostle Paul, I'm going to say, was weary because of the toils of his labours for the Lord, weary because of the persecution, without strength because of the persecution. But he waited on the Lord, and the Lord strengthened him and saw him through those difficulties. And again in Galatians, Paul instructs us, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There is that temptation that we can be busy about the Lord's work, and we can sometimes feel weary of it. We can feel cast down. We can feel that we've laboured and not seen any signs of our work. And we're not to be weary in the Lord's work, because in due season the Lord has promised that he will bless our labours if we faint not, if we press on to the mark and the high calling of God. And remember too that parable of Christ, another way that sometimes we get weary and therefore we need to wait. And in Luke chapter 18, Christ speaking, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Do we get weary of praying? Do we lack strength because we're praying? We shouldn't get weary of praying. We need to wait on the Lord when we pray. Not grow weary, continue in our prayer. Not be cast down because our prayer hasn't been answered straight away, but continue to ask and plead with our Lord, to wait on our Lord in prayer and not be weary of praying. And so, whatever the problem is, we're not to be cast down, we're to wait upon the Lord. And then another reason why we can be weary and faint. I don't know about you, but if I miss breakfast and if I miss lunch, I soon become weary and faint. I become hungry. And so it is with the saint. If we cease to feed on God's word, to feed on the bread of life, if we cease to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will grow weary. We will grow faint. And so we are to avail ourselves of all the opportunities that the Lord gives us. We have the word of God so readily available. Are we using it? Are we feeding off it as frequently as we can in our own homes? Are we assembling ourselves in the church to hear God's word proclaimed? Are we using all those means that the Lord has given us? Are we praying? Are we having those private readings of the word? Are we meeting together with the saints to encourage one another, to strengthen one another? When we are weary and cast down, so often a saint can encourage us. I can remember as a young Christian when I first came across Isaiah chapter 40 and being very struck by those last verses. And a friend of mine that was going through a lot of difficulty, I wrote a card and sent those verses to them. They encouraged them. And so it is with us as believers. Do we encourage one another as well? We encourage one another when we meet together. We can encourage one another by writing that word, by sharing that relevant portion of scripture that we have found. When we were weary, when we were cast down, when we were lacking strength, perhaps the word spoke to us. We can pass it on to those that are round about us. And so those that are weary, that are cast down, we're to wait upon the Lord. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Have you noticed all those promises, all those shalls? There's no ifs and maybe. If we wait upon the Lord, we shall renew our strength. We shall mount up with wings as eagles. We shall run. We won't be weary. And we shall walk. And we shall not faint. And so whatever situation we find ourselves in, weary for whatever reason, some of the reasons I have just said, we're to wait upon the Lord. We're to seek the Lord, the everlasting God. As verse 28 says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding." That is the reason that we're to wait upon the Lord, because of who he is. And as we consider the Lord, we will learn more of him. And therefore, we'll want to wait upon the Lord. we'll realise that it's not a vain thing to wait upon the Lord. But I was thinking, we've got to wait upon the Lord in the right way, and upon the right Lord. Because we know, and again we heard earlier about false translations of God's word. And so if we have an erroneous view of God, we won't want to wait upon him. Verse 28 talks about the Lord God being creator. And how many so-called Christians these days want to get rid of the first few chapters of Genesis and say the world was made by evolution? If you've got that false belief, you won't want to wait upon the Lord. But if you know that all that you see, all that is round about you, that this world was made by the Lord God, this world is sustained by the Lord God, that act of creation is a great demonstration of the power of our God, you will wait upon him when you're lacking strength, when you're weary. But if you think our God couldn't create the world, then why do you want to wait upon him? And remember too, we have another demonstration of the power of God, and that is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That life of Christ, his death, his burial, his descent into hell, and his resurrection and sitting at God's right hand. Again, another work of God and another reason why we can wait upon the God and know that we will renew our strength when we wait upon the Lord. And again, wait upon the Lord. What did we read in verse 23? That bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of earth as vanity. All the rulers, all the people that have power or authority in this world are nothing. It's no good waiting on them, because they won't strengthen you. They won't renew your strength. They won't grant you those wings as eagles. They won't help you to run and not be weary. As the psalmist says in Psalm 146, put not your trust in princes, nor the son of man. There is no help. And again, the psalmist says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put thy confidence in princes. Or as Isaiah says at the beginning of this book, cease ye from men whose breath is in the nostrils, for wherein is he to be able to be accounted of? Who do you wait upon? You're either waiting upon the Lord or you're waiting upon men. And that is a vain thing. If you told anybody that you're weary and faint and weak, weak and weary because of sin, what will the man in the street tell you? What do our rulers tell us? There's no such thing as sin. You're a fool for thinking that. If you've been doing the Lord's work, why don't you stop and enjoy yourself? Why do you go to the Lord, to church twice on a Sunday? Why don't you get out and enjoy yourself? Get a hobby, get an activity. We've just been seeking our Lord in prayer in the prayer meeting room. The men of the world think that's foolish, a waste of time. But the Lord delights to hear our prayer. If we'd wait upon the Lord in prayer, we can so often be renewed in our strength and cease to be weary. We lack in strength, but having prayed, waited upon the Lord in prayer, we're renewed. And then, why wait for the Lord? As I said, verse 28 gives us again, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. We wait upon the Lord because of who he is. Why won't the men of the world wait on the Lord? It's because of ignorance. They don't know the Lord God. But we, God's people, should know of our Lord. We should know of the works of our God. We should know of his power and his strength, his glory and his majesty. We know that he has created all things. We know that he is working out his purposes. And that's why we're to wait upon the Lord. Because of all people, we should have our eyes opened to see who the Lord is, what he has done, what he is doing. He's given us his word. We can read his word and we can see how he has dealt with men and women, men of like passion as you, men that have been cast down, men that have gone through difficulties, trials and tribulations. We mentioned the Apostle Paul, but they waited upon the Lord and they did renew their strength. If there was a real labourer for the Lord, look at the Apostle Paul, all those difficulties, but he might have been weary for a bit, but he waited upon the Lord and he continued in his labours up until the end for the God, for the Lord. And we remember the Lord God, he's that everlasting God, no beginning, no end. He's that great I am. He's the one that always has been. He was here before the world began. He will be here at the end of the world. He is the one that changes not. And whatever age we live in, we can always wait on our Lord because he is the everlasting God. He is the one that changes not. He created us, so he knows us. He knows our down sittings. He knows our uprising. He knows our thoughts from afar off. He knows our weaknesses. He is the one that is all wisdom. As verse 13 of this chapter reminds us, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counsellor, hath taught him? The Lord God knows all things. He does know the beginning from the end. And that's why we wait upon him, because he knows the beginning from the end. He knows what we need to renew our strength. He will come and help us to mount up as eagles on the wind. So who can compare with the Lord? As I said, those princes, those rulers, nothing in comparison. They're as grasshoppers, as we've just read. As Job says, has thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? If we wait on the Lord, his arm is strong and it will strengthen us. It will lift us up. We can hear his voice, that voice like thunder, that voice that can speak to us through all our darkness, through all our sin, that can encourage us and cut through all our problems, all our difficulties, all those erroneous thoughts. But if we wait on the Lord, the Lord created, he spoke, and things came into being. And so we need to hear the voice of God as we wait upon him. And remember, the word of our God shall stand forever. This word that we have is that everlasting word. It changes not. And so we wait upon the Lord. And great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. He understands my situation. He understands your situation. Again, as Paul writes for us in Romans, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. We might not know why we're feeling weary, why we're lacking strength, but if we wait, the Lord knows. His wisdom, his judgments, he will be pleased to reveal himself to us, and so we will renew our strength. We so often love to quote that verse, don't we? In Romans Romans 8 and 28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We can only say those things if we truly know God. If we know and have that knowledge, that understanding of the everlasting God, of the creator of the ends of the earth, that he does have all wisdom, that he knows the beginning from the end. And so if we don't have the right knowledge, the right understanding of God, we won't want to wait upon him. We're truly to believe these things, and then we will wait on the Lord. So why wait on the Lord? As Jeremiah says, who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdom, there is none like unto thee. We're to wait upon the Lord, because there's none like him. No one in this world is like our Lord, and that's why the saint is called to wait upon him, to trust the Lord, to wait for him for renewal. And so what is meant by waiting on the Lord? Again, verse 28 says, hast thou not known? And one of the things that we should do when we're waiting upon the Lord is meditate on the Lord. Consider the Lord who you're waiting upon. Understand who it is you're waiting on. I can say, I don't know whether you've ever had to meet someone perhaps off a train. You've never met them before. You don't know anything about them, but someone said, can you meet someone from the station for me? And what do you do? Well, what do they look like? Do you know what they'll be wearing? Because then when you're waiting, you can look and see. And so it is with the Lord. If we're going to wait upon him, let's find out as much as we can about the Lord. Again, his word is where we find the truth of the Lord. And so we need to learn to read God's word, to find out all we can upon him, about him. Because then we will delight to wait upon him. We will know that it's not a vain thing to wait upon the Lord. And so we need to search the scriptures about the Lord. Pray that the Holy Spirit will guide and to lead us into all truth. The world won't wait on the Lord because it doesn't know him. It doesn't believe in him. But we know the Lord and we have faith in the Lord. And we will wait on the Lord because we have faith. As I said, where do we get our knowledge of the Lord? Again, God's word, the whole of chapter 40, reveals us various things about the Lord. Comfort ye my people. The Lord is kind and gracious. He does call us when we're going through difficulties, when we're cast down. The voice, God has spoken. God has given us his word. He has been gracious in granting us his word, where we can learn all about him. As I said, the word of God lasts forever. And then you can look through the various descriptions of the Lord throughout this chapter. Verse 12 says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, meted out heaven with a span. Again, that description of the greatness of our God, of all that he has done. Who will you liken? What likeness will you compare him? Men make their false idols, and they're vain. But the Lord sitteth on the circle of the earth, and all the inhabitants are thereof grasshoppers. And so if we know our Lord, we will want to wait upon him. We will delight to wait upon him. We will lift our eyes on high and look at the Lord in heaven. When we have the right knowledge of God, we will delight to wait upon him. As we read in Lamentations chapter 3. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It is good to wait upon the Lord. Again, no other reason to wait on the Lord other than it's good. And it's good that we wait and hope because salvation is of the Lord. We need to wait upon the Lord for salvation. And waiting so often requires some effort. As I've said, waiting at the railway station, you have a description, but you have to look for that person. They are probably looking for you as well. But if you've got that description and you're looking, you're searching for them, you will find them. As Isaiah says in chapter 8, and I'll wait upon the Lord and I will look for him. When we're waiting for the Lord, are we seeking him? Are we looking for him? Again, in Deuteronomy, we have that verse, don't we? But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And then again in Chronicles, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. When we wait for the Lord, when we're waiting upon the Lord, it's not passive. We're seeking the Lord. We're seeking his presence. We're praying unto him to draw nigh unto us. We're seeking God in his word, learning more of him. As I said, it's not passive, just sitting there waiting to be filled, a bit like the Quakers or what have you. We are thinking about the Lord God. We're using God's word to reveal unto us who he is and looking and waiting for him. We're seeking after the Lord while we wait upon him. And if we're going to wait, we've got to be earnest and sincere and committed. As we heard on Sunday evening from our brother earlier on in Isaiah, the people of Israel were hypocrites. They were delighting in the Lord, but they're hypocritical about it. And we're not to be hypocritical when we wait for the Lord. We're to be sincere. We're to be earnest. We're to be whole-hearted about it, not half-hearted. Because if we're hypocritical, we will remain faint. We will stay weary. We will stay earthbound. We will wallow in our weariness and fainting. We won't raise up on wings. As I said, we'll be earthbound. And waiting on the Lord includes praise and prayer. Praise being meditation. Again, we're remembering our God. We're rehearsing what our God has done for us in the past. We're pleading that the Lord will be with us in the days that lie ahead. That he will indeed renew our strength and give us energy to continue in his work. We will be seeking forgiveness. If we're weary because of sin, we will be saying, Lord, show me that wickedness. And we will be seeking that cleansing blood of Christ. All this while we're waiting upon the Lord. We will indeed ask for strength, renewal of our strength. And the psalmist says, wait on the Lord and keep his ways. Whilst waiting on the Lord, we're to keep his ways. It's no good saying, I'm waiting on the Lord, but I'm going to continue in my sin. I'm not going to follow after the Lord. That will be hypocritical. And the Lord won't renew our strength. Hypocrisy, if we say that we're waiting for the Lord and continuing in our sin. We wait and look for the Lord, as we read in Psalm 19. But the promise is there that the Lord will renew our strength if we wait on the Lord. And so we can wait and trust him, knowing that he will renew us, but only if we're not hypocritical, if we're seeking and meditating upon the Lord. Those promises there, they are the shalls. There's no ifs and buts. They're sure and they're certain. The Lord has spoken, and these things will come to pass. Again, we have it in verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. The care of our God for his people. The care for those that are like those weak lambs. The Lord is that good shepherd and will care for us if we're waiting for him. And then waiting in the wrong place or the wrong time. As I said, when we're waiting for someone, it might be at the station. Have you ever waited for someone and they haven't come? They haven't appeared. And then when you next find out, you were waiting at the wrong platform. And so waiting on the Lord. Are you waiting in the wrong place? What I mean by that is, do you attend church? Because it's the one place that you can be sure that you will meet the Lord. The Lord has given us the church. It's a place where he says he will meet with us. And so there's that necessity of attending God's house. But a church, it has to be a church where Christ is the head. There's so many churches that are called churches, but Christ isn't the head. Don't go and wait for the Lord there. A church where God's word is proclaimed from Genesis to Revelation, where men that preach God's word believe in God's word from Genesis to Revelation, where the whole counsel of God. A church where the members love God. And if they love God, they will love one another. They'll want to help and encourage those saints that are faint and weary. A place where prayer is made. And so one of the first places we should be waiting on the Lord is in the church, the true church, that is. What is your priorities? You've got to make time to wait on the Lord. I know the Lord is omnipresent, so you can wait for the Lord in your own home, in the quietness of your home, with the word of God, praying to him. But there is that blessing, that place that the Lord has given us, his church. As I said, what is our priority? And the wrong time of waiting. There's any time we can wait on the Lord. Now is the day of salvation. We're feeling weary, so we seek the Lord, whatever the time. But let us make the time. Let us get our priorities and let us wait upon the Lord. And don't ever let us neglect assembling together as the saints. And so finally, what's the result of waiting on the Lord? He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increases strength. And then verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. They will soar. They will know that renewal. That is the result of waiting on the Lord. A man that waited upon the Lord and did soar is Simeon. Simeon, as we know, rejoiced to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about Simeon. He's a man that obviously knew the scriptures. He knew that the Messiah was coming, that Christ was coming, and he waited on the Lord. And then he saw the Lord. And we read in Luke chapter 2, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. There was a man that had been waiting upon the Lord. And just in those brief description that he says he can now depart in peace, there's a man that strength was renewed, that was no longer weary, that was mounted up on those eagle winds, all because he was a man that waited on the Lord. He knew the scriptures, he'd studied the scriptures, and he knew whom he was waiting for, and so he rejoiced in the Lord. And so if we trust and we're waiting on the Lord, we can be sure that we will renew our strength. We will soar. Again, Pilgrim's Progress, you remember that description of Pilgrim and then with that burden and the sin is removed. He did soar then. And so it is when we've waited upon the Lord, we've confessed our sins, burdens are removed, we are lightened, we will soar. And then finally, before, to close, I'd like to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. If we're waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be raised with Christ. We will be delivered from that wrath to come. We will know that deliverance. And we will know that we will be delivered from death and raised up into heaven. We will indeed soar in those last days. But until that time comes, we're to wait upon the Lord. And so may the Lord help us as we wait for him. Amen. We'll sing hymn number 747. Almighty Father of mankind, on thee my hopes remain, and when the trouble comes, I shall not trust in vain. Hymn number 774. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.